Glory to God. Thank you so much. Shall we please pray and thank God? Father, Lord God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us Jesus to come and die to save us. Thank you for Jesus who came to set the example as to how to live for you. Lord Jesus, we praise you and we exhort you. We thank you that you are present in our midst. Father, this morning I yield to you and I surrender to you. My teacher, my comforter, Holy Spirit, I pray that you will take absolute control of our time today. As I speak, I pray that you will speak to your people. I pray that you will open our understanding. You will touch our hearts. Help us to grasp on to what you want us to have today, that we may be able to walk out here prepared, ready, as workers who are not ashamed of breaking down the word of truth. Father, we bless you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, I'm speaking on the subject, the 70. I'm speaking on the subject, the 70. If I want to go further, I would also, the bigger sermon that I have on this, I call it the 70 dimension. The Lord Jesus, as we read from passage, from the Bible, at some point, called his disciples and he anointed them, he prayed for them, and he told them to go out and preach the gospel. He sent them out. And they went out, they came back with good testimonies. But Jesus did not end there by sending only his 12. He also sent 70. And he told them in this passage what to do, and he sent them out. So he graduated from sending just the 12 to sending the 70. This helps us to have a very good understanding of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the passage says here, was going to go into certain towns, but he knew that if he sent 70 people ahead of him, if he sent some people ahead of him into the towns that he was going to go in, that would help escalate and accelerate the rate at which the ministry or the work of spreading the good news would go on. And so he sent 70 people. He called them and he blessed them. The Luke chapter 10 verse 1 says, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. Every town where he himself was about to go. He was about to go, but he sent people ahead of him. He called this 70. This gives us an indication that it wasn't only the 12 who were following him. That means that on the journey, there were other committed people. Even though those 70 were not part of the appointed 12 that he himself called, there were people who were still committed, walking and going along with Jesus. And so he blessed them and he told them to go. But the interesting thing here is he told them to go out in twos, not in ones. I'm going to talk on 5 points that come out of this. And the first point is two by two. He sent them out two by two. Not one by one. Not one on one. Not some and not others. 72 by 2. This gives an indication here how we as a church corporately are supposed to be strategic in going out and winning souls. I have heard in my life of growing up in the church that There are some churches that even expect their pastor to be the one going out doing evangelism. So church members can do everything else. The pastor is the one paid to go and do evangelism. Not just that, there are certain churches that doesn't even have a missions ministry or a missions or evangelism team. Everybody does what they want to do. They have time to discuss everything they want to discuss. They have time to do everything else but evangelism. By God's grace, we see here that Jesus valued spreading the good news. And so he called two, and he said to them to go into the world. Perhaps it was best one person witnessed while the other prays while they went. I kept on studying this and I'm asking to myself, why is the Lord sending them two by two and not one on one? Some people say, oh, I'm better when I evangelize, when I talk to people one on one. I prefer that option. You know, I don't like all this. Come, let's go out and go and preach. I don't like walking. No. Jesus sent people out in twos. And one reason perhaps is that as they go, the two can be encouragement to one another, to keep each other company. You see? Other way that you can see it is that perhaps as they go, while the other ministers, the other can be doing the prayer. You know? But scripture teaches us, when you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, that it is not good to be alone. It is always better to be more than one. You see, the principle of scripture, the whole kingdom agenda is not individual. It is based on corporate and teamwork. Look at God deciding to create human beings. And he says, let us create a man in our own image. Let us. God is the master architect. He could have just called man, create man into being. But he said, he's agreeing with the body of heaven. Let us create man in our image. And so as a church, our corporate responsibility to our community is also begin to realize that we are called as tools. You know, I like it. I always say this when I was reflecting through. There was a part where I said to myself, it would be nice if the gossips also go out to do evangelism. You know, call your gossip partner. Hey, today let's go and do evangelism. You can discuss everything. You can do everything. You can meet and go to the nightclub, go and mess around. Oh, you can go and do everything else you want to do. But when it comes to evangelism, you don't want to do it with anyone. And Jesus says, go out in twos. He sends them out in twos. Beloved, as a church, it is time to begin to understand that it is not good to be on your own. Many of us have isolated ourselves. Oh, and you know, the Satan is very good at misleading you to think, oh, as for me, this church thing, I don't want everybody in my business and I don't want to be in anybody's business. Hello, I'm just saying, hey, I will be going out to do evangelism. Come, let us go and do it. I'm not saying come and talk to me about your life or let us go and do anything. It is good for us to come together to do things for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself is setting the example here. Don't leave the evangelism to me to do. Don't leave it to some evangelism team to do it. You, the friends that you have here, call them. Hey, what do you think? Maybe next week, let's go out and do some evangelism. Oh yeah, we spend hours on telephone. Let us also go and spend an hour walking through our community and see if we can win someone for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to become intentional about these things. When you read 1 Corinthians 3 verses, it says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You see, In this case, he's sending them out in twos. But the important here is that it is not us who are supposed to do the soul winning. It is our responsibility to be willing to spread the news. But it is Jesus himself that is going to do the winning of the soul. But we have to prioritize the sharing the gospel. The sharing the gospel. And so the next point is prayer for labors. When you read Luke 10 verse 2, he says, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. To send out laborers into his harvest. You know, Chip Ingram at one point taught that in every 10 people, there is only one Christian that is actively evangelizing. Can you imagine this? So if I count now from here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Only one person is really serious about evangelizing and sharing the gospel with others. That is serious. So we are supposed to spread the kingdom. The kingdom of God is supposed to enlarge, but the laborers are few. You see, this challenge we are facing today was equally the same during Jesus' time. There were many people following Jesus, but there were little willing to go out and spread the good news. And Jesus is telling them, pray earnestly, for the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Jesus says we should pray earnestly. That is why as a church, we have committed ourselves to times when we come together to pray corporately. While we have our individual calling to pray, we have to, as a church, value the corporate prayers as well. When we come together to together pray, he says earnestly. To earnestly do something is to do it with all seriousness. He didn't say, oh, pray. No, he said to seriously pray. You and I must earnestly pray that God will send more laborers into the field. That God will send more laborers into the field. Less prayer will not bring the breakthrough that we are looking for in Kearney. Less prayer will not be the breakthrough that we are looking for in West Hudson Christian Center. Some people are waiting to see whether new believers will come to this church and become part of what God is doing here. But if you and I are not coming together to pray with all seriousness, Jesus says it's not going to happen. And so you and I must begin to come together to pray. And that's why we have our all-night sessions. We have afternoon prayers. We have different times to pray. Even before service starts, we pray. There are some of us who don't think the praying time is part of our service. So we come to church at 10:30. Meanwhile, we have 30 minutes of prayer. Children of God, pray earnestly. Pray earnestly. We have to begin to be serious people who are serious about praying for laborers. Some of us have family members who need saving. You see, he doesn't say pray that God saves them. He says pray that God will send somebody that carries an anointing that can speak to that family member and the family member will listen. I think most of you who have talked to me about praying for your family members, I've always told you, the Lord Jesus tells us to pray that the laborers are sent into the field. You know there are people, devoted Christians that carry an anointing that breaks a yoke, but yet still they are not serious about outreach. And so if such a person does not go out to do outreach, does not seriously pursue winning souls, they don't come into an encounter with anyone that really needs to hear their message and that their anointing can help to break a yoke upon them. But if you and I pray, maybe I might be in my office doing something, and then God will just touch my heart and say, Kwesi, go to that shop over there at this time, and I will get up and I will go and I will meet somebody there. And as I begin to talk to the person, because of the kind of grace of God that is upon me, as I speak to the person, the Holy Spirit starts to move, and the person begins, oh, what can I do to be saved? You remember on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and he preached, and 3,000 people, they were listening to him. Eventually they said, Peter, what shall we do to be saved? Because the Holy Spirit was upon Peter, and Peter had been transformed, and he was speaking with the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus, to the extent that as he spoke, the people's hearts were burning, and they themselves asked the question, what shall I do to be saved? And Peter gave them a direction. Repent, confess of your sins, and be baptized. And be baptized. And so you realize that the child of God today must begin to prioritize prayer. Without prayer, oh my God, what can the child of God achieve? What can the child of God do? A Christian that has no prayer lifestyle is useless. It's useless in the kingdom of heaven. And you are not a threat to the kingdom of darkness. But Jesus is saying, pray earnestly. And so he goes ahead. Trust in God. Let's look at Luke 10 verse 3. Jesus said to the 72, go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. As lambs in the midst of wolves. You see, Jesus was telling them something. That he was sending them into a dangerous field. A wolf is, oh my gosh. Wolf likes flesh. And a wolf will wait and wait until the right opportunity comes to pounce on something. And when a wolf gets a flesh, it doesn't go let go easily. And Jesus is saying, I'm sending you into a field of wolves. He's pointing out here that we live in a world that is full of demonic entities. Satan has his world. This world that we are in, as me and you believers, we need to understand that Satan is on this earth with us. And Jesus has sent us, is sending us into the devil's den to go and to work in such a way that he will use us to win souls for him, Jesus Christ. And so it is a dangerous ground when you are going. It is a dangerous ground when you and I are going. In as much as it is dangerous, Jesus is pointing out something. He says, carry no money bag, no knapsack, no saddles, and greet no one on the road. Trust in God alone for the outreach. As you are in this world, as you are working for the Lord Jesus, as you are worshiping the Lord Jesus, as you are doing all that you do, you and I must begin to trust in God. Put our faith in God alone, not our bank account. Put our faith in God, in trusting that God is the only one that can protect us and shield us, not what the doctor can do. Even though God can give the doctor wisdom to bless you. It is not the doctor you have to look up to. You have to look up to your Lord God first. Look up to your Lord God, for whence cometh your help? Your help shall come from God. But you see, in as much as we go ahead doing this, he tells them, listen to this. Listen to this, child of God. Jesus is sending these people out to go and minister. And he tells them, don't take your knapsack. Don't take these things that you have to take with you, your sandals. Don't take anything. And then finally, he tells them, let me make sure I quote it clearly. Greet no one on the road. He's sending them to go and win souls, and he's saying, greet no one on the road as you go. Do not be distracted. Many Christians are distracted these days for the love of money, for the love of relationships, for the love of things. Some of us are so busy. We want everything. I need a new this. You always need something. Meanwhile, you have so much. Your wardrobe can't close. Some of us are pushing our closets to close. But yet still, we are buying every day. We are so busy thinking of what we will wear. Some of us literally come to church late because we couldn't decide on what to wear. We have so much. And these things have become distractions to our agenda and our mission and our calling as children of God. Many of us are distracted by the love of money. That's why Jesus points out money there. If you carry your money sack with you, everything you do, hey, my money sack is empty. Oh, I don't have money in the accounts. So today I can't go and win souls. Let me go and do some overtime at work. And some of us, it is relationships. We want to talk to everybody. It is not everyone you need to talk to. Focus on your agenda. You remember Nehemiah? We studied Nehemiah last year. And there was a point when he was so busy working. And Sambalat and Tobiah sent him a message. Come, let us go and have a meeting because we've heard that people are plotting to kill you. He sent a message to messengers to go and tell them. Go and tell them, I am busy working for my Lord. Some of us are not busy working for the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are busy doing all other things. We are not busy. And so we can't put our trust in God. We can't. Oh, it's all about what somebody will do for you and I. There's no trust. Begin to trust the Lord Jesus. Begin to trust him. The message that he gave to the 70 is still the same message you and I must begin to carry. The Lord Jesus is saying, don't waste your time with people. Don't waste your time with money, seeking the things of this world, piling up the goods of this earth. Be busy, focused on winning souls. Be busy on the agenda that the Lord Jesus has given you. All of us have a purpose. All of us have a purpose. That is what you got to begin to focus on. And look at what verse 5-7 says. The next point I want to talk about is acceptance. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And then remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wage. Do not go from house to house. They are then to say, peace be to the house. Peace be to this house. You see, the message we are giving is people who carry peace. I have problem with Christians who cause problems everywhere they go. We have the same people in the church. It's okay for you to be in the church and not be able to be living this lifestyle. But after a while, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ and you begin to be living your life for him, you begin to be studying scripture, you begin to be praying, you begin to be... This kind of troublemaker lifestyle needs to leave you. Some of us are in the church and we are causing problems among believers. Not just that. Everywhere we go, people can't say anything good about us. Some people literally have to tiptoe around us. People have problems. Everything somebody says, you have something to say about it. You argue. We argue. We are not people that carry peace. And the Lord Jesus says, any house you enter, first, your first declaration to be a peace. Peace be unto this house. Some of us have become Christians who literally wake up in the morning, we dress up, and we are already moody. Going out, you see somebody, if he doesn't know and he does, you see what I'll do to you. Hello. There is a saying back where I came from that there is a Christian who was going to church. He was dressed up going to church, and he got into while he was going, somebody was coming to pour water out of their window. So the person poured water out of their window and it went to his foot. And it's like, hey. And the person could have just said sorry. The person didn't. And they started arguing. And he said to the person, you wait, I'm going to church. Let me go and come, you will see. You think this is a joke? The person went to church, worshipped God, listened to the word like the way we are all seated here listening to me. Finished, went, got into a car, sat in the car, drove all the way home. He didn't get home. He got to the place and he stopped, got out of the car, took. While he was speaking, he was taking his shirt off. Hey, you, what were you saying when I was going to church? Now I have gone to finish at church. Who are you? Now I have finished. Come out here. You will see what I'll do to you. Bring that guy out. He will see what I will do to him. A Christian went to church, came back from church to come and continue his battle. This is serious. And we have many Christians who are not peace carriers. We argue, we fight, we act arrogantly, proud people. We are not people that are carrying peace. But our whole gospel, the whole gospel message is about peace. And so if you and I cannot work on carrying this message of peace with us, we are losing the heaven agenda. Seriously, we have to begin to search our heart and search ourselves. What kind of person am I? When people see me, what do they see? When people talk to me, what do they get? When I'm not around, how do people feel? Children of God, the child of God, who was part of the 70, is still part of this message. We all of us seated here today. We have to be people that carry peace, because our world needs it the most in this day. Many are weeping. Many are suffering. Many are under serious oppression. Many are under serious bondage. And we are the ones who are supposed to carry the freedom, the peace, the joy, the hope, the liberty, the deliverance that they need. And so if you and I do not yield ourselves and surrender to the nature of Christianhood, and then we also become the people that contribute to the problems in this world. But we are called to be people of peace. And then the Lord Jesus goes ahead to say, if there is a son of peace in the house, remain there and minister unto them. Be part of what God is doing there. Bless them. And he says that, heal their sick. Heal their sick. You see, when you go somewhere that they receive you, It is not all environment that will receive you. This passage points it clearly. But when you find a place where you are accepted, settle there. Be part of what God is doing. Look forward to what God wants to use you to do in that environment. And be a blessing. Many Christians have become church entrants. We enter into this church. I don't like what is going on here. Then we move on. Nobody told you not to come back. And then you move on to another church. You stay there for 1 month. Oh, I don't like it here. Then you move on to somewhere else. I don't like it here. Oh, this church is this. This church is that. That church is this. I'm still looking for a church. So for 5 years, 6 years, 1 year, 10 years, you are not part of any church. You are not part of any agenda. You are not part of anything that God is doing but yourself. You cannot be blessed because you are not being a blessing. And such people always have, I tell you, they talk about the church like the church is a problem. Child of God, I'm speaking to all of us today because this message is to you and I. Begin to set your heart. If you have come here and you see God here, God doing his thing, I'm not saying we are a perfect church. I always remind people the church is a spiritual clinic. Not all of us here are perfect because the Lord Jesus is in the process of perfecting us. But you can become part of what the Lord Jesus is doing here. You have an ability. You have a gifting. You have an anointing that he has given you. You are so special and unique that God can use you to minister to me. I am not the perfect pastor. I can become a perfect pastor. You can lay your hands and pray for me. You don't know the things I go through sometimes. And so you come and sit down and you criticize. Look at this church. Why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? Oh, they don't even know how to do this. The course that I went to take in Canada somewhere, they say that a church has to be this way. A church has to be that. Hello, you know, and you don't come and teach us. You know, and you don't bring your ideas. Bless them. And how many of you here believe that you can lay your hands on the sick and they shall be healed? He said, heal their sick. You see, the sick doesn't only refer to people who are going through bodily problems. To be sick is to be inadequate of the person you are supposed to be. And so there is spiritual sickness, there are mental sicknesses, there are emotional sicknesses, there are physical sicknesses, like when you have something on your body, body pains, those are physical sickness. Even poverty is a form of sickness. And so when he says, pray for the sick, he's talking to you and I to begin to pray in the midst of all that goes on. Every situation, every problem, you become that person that listens to people. Your sister says this, your sister, you hear them out, you say, you know what, let me just pray with you. And you pray, you stand and you pray with the person and you trust God for an answer in the matter. You become part of what God wants to do with this person's life. Children of God, we have to begin to live in ways that can cause us to be accepted. Many of us have made ourselves to be rejected. We have brought a rejection upon ourselves because we are not living the gospel life. And now the last one. Ten to twelve. Whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of Sodom than for that town. Why would it be more tolerable for Sodom than for those who reject Jesus Christ? Today, we have heard so much about Jesus than those times. The challenges that faced Sodom in their days was that they didn't know this God as we know him now. And so, this time that we are living in, we will be judged harshly. So, child of God, begin to prioritize your life. Begin to live for the Lord Jesus. Begin to rearrange that which is important. Not just that. Remember that our world will be judged and you have a role to play. He said, if they do not accept you, walk out. Many Christians are in environments where they are not accepted and we are trying to please the people. So before you realize, you have lost your values. Don't go in your effort to win souls, which it is I who is supposed to win the soul, not you. In your effort to spread the good news and to win souls, you begin to compromise who you are as a child of God. If they don't like you, walk out. I know somebody that says, oh Lord, Pastor, oh, I like this woman so much. I am praying that she will give her life to Christ, then I will marry her. You are with the girl, she's breaking your heart every day. And you are praying for her to give her life to Christ. Many of us are keeping companies that we shouldn't be keeping. We are in relationships that we shouldn't be in. We are in environments that we shouldn't be in. And we make the excuse that we are supposed to love the unbelievers and work on saving them. I love those talks. Jesus is telling them, walk out. Yet still, we today make up excuses. Child of God. You see, these 5 points are important to walk with somebody in the Lord, which is 2x2, prayer for laborers, trusting in God, acceptance and rejection. How to handle rejection. All these points come out in this few things that Jesus said to these 70 as they went out. But you see, today, you and I are faced with the same point. And these 70, as they listened to the Lord, they went out and they brought testimonies. They brought testimonies. They brought testimonies. If you read the verse 18, he said, and then Jesus said to them, I saw Satan. Sorry, let me go to 17. Verse 17, when they returned, the writer says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Did you hear? In your name. Then Jesus responded, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in the book of life.
You see, these things I'm talking about here. Maybe you are sitting here and you're saying, Pastor, I see all these things in me. How do I begin to do these things? How do I begin to live as the Lord Jesus wants me to live? This is why you need the Spirit of the Lord present with you, the Holy Spirit. It is the Lord Jesus' power and authority that we operate in. It is not my own power. It is not your own power. It is not your own authority. Many of us are not being faithful to living for the Lord Jesus because the Spirit of God is not active in our lives. Child of God, remember that Jesus, before he went, he told his disciples that when the Spirit comes upon them, they will receive power and authority to be his witnesses. Today, you and I are struggling, probably not able to do that which is said in this message because we just do not have an encounter with the Spirit of our living God. This is the time you and I must begin to yearn, must begin to weep, must begin to seek the presence of the Lord and walk in the full power and authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from the power of sin. Many of us are living in sin. Fornication is a sin. Gossip is a sin. Evil thinking. Some of us, all we think is evil. It's a sin. Some of us, our heart is so filled with corruption, hate. It is sin. Adultery is a sin. Adultery is when you are married and you are in another relationship with somebody. And fornication is when you are not married and you are having marital affairs with somebody. These things are all sins. If you live like that, the Spirit of God cannot dwell with you and use you in the power to which God wants to use you. But if you are willing and you desire and you leave yourself to him, he will take you on a journey of becoming who the Lord Jesus says you should be, not who you and I has to be. Begin to pray. Begin to seek him. Be earnest in your prayer and God will reveal himself to you and I. God bless you so much. God bless you. God bless you. That you may live the life of a believer. You may live the life of the 70. The dimension to which you begin to be used of the kingdom of God. It only comes through the Spirit of our living God. Through the power that the Lord Jesus Christ will give to you. And look at this. Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, right? Don't take it for joke. Begin to pray. And fast, seek God. Lord, bless me. Bless me. I worship you. I want to live for you. I want to honor you. Begin praying that if you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, to be baptized. If you are baptized, pray that God will refresh you, that you shall begin a fresh living for the Lord Jesus. And when we come here on Sunday evening at 6 p.m., as we worship and we praise, and God will begin to move in our life and touch us and use us for awesome things. God bless you so much, child of God. May God favor you. May God anoint you. May the power of God begin to move in your life in a supernatural way. May he break you away from all forms of sin, from all forms of distraction, from all forms of things that are not of God. That God will begin to use you mightily. That the kingdom of darkness shall not stand against you in Jesus' name. May the name Jesus begin to break you out in the name of Jesus. May the name Jesus begin to transform you in the name of Jesus. May the name Jesus begin to usher you into the ministry that God has called you to be in. Father, we bless you. We praise you. We give you glory and we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. In view of that, we're going to have communion.